Today I want to talk to you from the thought, living beneath your means. We've been in a series here at the church talking about generosity and how God has been calling us to go over and above in the things that he's leading us to do. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes I think God has a strange sense of humor, for he'll test you in what you're preaching about. And I was at the car wash this past week getting my car washed, and the guys were in there doing my car. And normally when I get done, I like to give the guys a tip, because you know that's how they make their money. And so when I got done and was getting ready to get out of there, I looked at my wallet and all I had was a 10 and a $1 bill. How many of you know that my first thought was, all they get in a day is a dollar? And I felt God say, didn't I tell you about being generous? And I say, but Lord, the whole car wash is $20. Why am I going to give them a $10 tip? And God said, give them the $10. I said, Lord, we went back and forth. And God said, man, do you remember the time I had you washing cars? And I say, well, Lord, I don't remember having to wash cars except for my own. He said, would you like to learn how to wash cars? And I said, no, Lord, I'll give the $10. But you know, it's funny, when I got home, I was washing my clothes and I was going through my pants to make sure that I didn't leave something in there. You know, I found $15 in my pants pocket. It was almost as if God was saying, you know what, I got things prepared. All you got to do is learn to be obedient. And he has some things prepared for us. So just look out for opportunities. If you're in the grocery store, next month, February, is Love Month, and we're going to have cards and all different types of things that just do random acts of kindness and love to people. And so we will be preparing for that. But as God leads you, just be generous and just expect him to return. So last week we started talking about debt and how that it's hard to be generous when you're surrounded and engulfed by debt, and how our society is literally designed to keep you discontented, to keep you in a state to where you're never satisfied. And I kid you not, someone came up to me after the service last week and they say, Pastor, I think you was talking to me in that message. I said, well, what you talking about? They say, well, I'm actually out here driving a Mercedes-Benz right now. The people were trying to sell it to me. I've been driving around for the last 2 or 3 days. And I said, okay, well, praise God. You know, if you buy your car, you know what? If she say, but there ain't nothing wrong with the car that I got. And she said, I believe that the Lord is telling me and showing me that I don't need to buy that car. I say, well, bless God. Because here's the thing. If you don't catch on to it, it'll keep you in a perpetual state of debt. Here you had someone getting ready to buy a car who didn't even need a car, about to spend money that she probably didn't even necessarily have to be spending that money on. Amen. And so you have to learn to be content and stop being so discontent. So today I want to talk to you, continuing on that same vein, about something that I pray, if you listen to what I'm saying, it will bless you. How many know we're in 2020 and you don't want to go into 2021 the same way? Amen. Listen to what I'm saying. If you catch on to what I'm saying, it will bless you. You will get out of debt and you will be debt free and you will be a whole lot happier. I told you, when you don't got bills, it's real good when you don't have bills. So today I want to talk to you on that same vein about debt, but approaching how we get out of debt. So today I'm going to be talking about budgeting. Look at your neighbor and say, budgeting. Budgeting. We're going to be talking about budgeting, and this is, whether you know it or not, a very important topic that we need to talk about, particularly in our community, budgeting, because many of us are in debt because you don't operate on a budget. In fact, I read a statistic from U.S. Bank that says 41% of Americans use a budget or own a budget. 41% do not. So that means 6 out of 10 of us in this room are not on a budget. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you was to go through the room, you're not on a budget. Watch this now. Why is the budget so important? It's because what I have found is that for most people, you don't have a money problem. You have a money management problem. And many times what we're praying for, you're praying for God to give you more money as though that's the solution to your problem. And it's really not a money problem. The issue is you have a money management problem. You're not managing right the money that God has given to you. Somebody look at your neighbor and say budget. You need to get on a budget. There are three finances. What I found is not hard to understand, right? How you get into debt and get out of debt is not difficult. There are basically three fundamental principles as it relates to money that you got to understand. Number one is if you spend more, go back up one. It should be one more. Go back up. There you go. I think it is. Yeah. If your spending is greater than your income, it equals debt. Does that make sense? That means there's no surprise. Whenever you find somebody in debt, it's no shock of how you got into it. Anytime your spending is greater than what you make, you're going to get into debt, right? That's a basic. So for some of us, the reason why you can't get out of debt is because you're spending more than you make. All right. The second one is that if your spending is equal to your income, it means broke. Well, you're not getting no amens. They're going down already. So what that means is if you spend every dime and penny that you get, don't be surprised if you broke at the end of the week. Watch this. And the reason why some of us can't get out of debt is because you literally spend every dime and penny that you have. It's called living paycheck to paycheck. Amen. And that system is not surprising. You're going to perpetually be broke. Some of us are saying, I feel like I'm broke. I don't have no money. And you won't as long as you spend everything that you have. Right. The last one is that if your spending is less than what you make, then you have the ability to save. Right. It's very, none of this is difficult, right? It's very simple. It's very practical. If your spending is less than you make, you have the ability to save money. Right? So the way how you get out of debt, the way how you avoid debt is you got to learn to spend less than what you what? Less than what you make. Or as some of the old folk used to say, you need to learn to live within your means. Now, the difficulty with living within your means that I have found is that we all have different means. So the heart surgeon has different means than the cashier at Publix, right? The problem comes in is that the cashier at Publix wants to have the same means as a heart surgeon. But the problem is you don't make the money that the heart surgeon make, but this world is very good. It says, even though I know you don't have the means to do what the heart surgeon does, I have a way in which you can get it. It's just called debt. Watch this. And the reason why some of us can't get out of debt is because you're trying to live beyond your means. Come on. Beyonce is able to wear that jacket and them pants and that purse and drive that car because her means are greater. And I ain't getting no amen. But some of you are trying to live like Beyonce. And you don't got the means. You ain't got the money. And what happens is when you start spending greater than your means, you get into debt. It's very simple. You remember I told you last week that the U.S. economy, the U.S. national debt is now over $22 trillion. Now, the question becomes, how in the world does a country get into $22 trillion worth of debt? You don't have to guess. It's very simple. The country is spending more money than it has coming in. Right? I went and I looked up some statistics on there. You see, in 2010, the U.S. national debt was $13 trillion, $13.53. But you see that other column, it says U.S. deficit. Now, a deficit is not a difficult thing to understand. It just means it's the amount of money that a person spends over and above what they make. So what's happening is in 2010, the U.S. has a deficit of $1.293 trillion. That means they spent more, $1 trillion more than what they had come in. And the debt, the national debt rose. You can see it every year. $1.3 trillion 2011. And you see it's kind of going down a little bit as you went there, but it's still overspending. You see that in 2019, $984 billion. It's overspent what it took in. Now, here's the problem. How many of you know that we not like the government? See, the government has the ability to do that because all they do is just print more money. Right? But some of us are living like you, the government. You spending money that you literally don't have, but how many know that that can't go on forever? Even for our country, you start to hear people screaming, saying, wait a minute, this debt is getting out of control, because at some point, if you keep spending more money than you have coming in, you get to the point to where you can't pay back the debt. And right now our country is in trouble, but some of us, the problem is you are living beyond your means and you're never going to get out of debt that way, right? So the goal is we have to learn to live not necessarily within your means, you really have to learn to live below your means, right? Because if you make $50,000 a year, you do recognize that that's not really what you make. Right? Because a bank may give you a loan based off of your income of $50,000, but that's really not what you made. Because U.S. Uncle Sam is going to take at least 20% of that. Right? So that $50,000 now shrinks to $40,000. 20% of 50 is $10,000. Right? But then you're supposed to be tithing. So 10% of $50,000. Now, you don't take the 10% off of the $40,000 after the government got its cut. Amen's going down. If you didn't know that, God says, I get my money first, not off of what you got left. There's another $5,000. Now you're down to $35,000. But then you're supposed to tithe to yourself. 10%. You're supposed to be saving yourself, right? So now when you take that off, another 5%, now you're down to $30,000, and now you got to use that $30,000 to pay all the rest of the stuff, your health insurance and all of the other different expenses that you have, right? And so you can't live at your means. You got to learn to live below your means. Now, the question becomes then, how do we do that? I'm going to give you three things that Jesus gives us in our text today. Turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I want to give you three things today that if you do these three things, I'm telling you, it'll change all of your finances. Three simple things that Jesus gives us in the text. Three things. How do we live within our means and avoid debt? Anybody want to do that? Okay. Look here in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. Very simple text. Three things. Jesus says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish it all, and all who see it begin to mock at him, saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish it. Okay, in this text, listen to me. Jesus gives you three things you need to do to make sure you stay underneath your budget and avoid getting in debt. The first one is, and none of this is going to be super deep, but it's powerful if you do it. How many know that in Christendom, it's not always something new and profound. It's just stuff that you're just not doing. Okay, so the first thing that Jesus says you got to do is you have to create and set a financial goal. Okay? The first thing you have to do to get under your budget and avoid debt is you need to establish a financial goal. When you look there in the text, what was the goal of that man? What was he trying to do? Do you see that? He was intending to build a tower. And since he was intending to build a tower, from that point on, everything else that he did financially was tied to building that tower. So listen, one of the first things that you have to do to avoid getting into debt is you need to set a financial goal. Why? Because the financial goal that you set then determines and set parameters around all the spending that you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't have a financial goal, if you don't have something that you're shooting for, then what you will begin to do is just spend on any and everything that you see. There's nothing shaping or guiding or protecting you from doing any and everything. You've got to have something that guides your spending. So, for example, if your goal, if you have a financial goal that you want to retire early at age 55, how many of you know that if that's your goal, then everything else that you do spending wise has to reflect that? Does that make sense? If you don't have that goal, then you don't have anything to shoot for, right? If you set a financial goal that you want to be debt free, anybody has a financial goal? If you set that goal that you want to be debt free, then what that means is that it shapes what you're able to buy. That means you can't go in the store and buy everything that you want because it doesn't fit or align with the goal that you set. Come on, somebody. I don't know if this makes sense. If your goal, if you have a financial goal to buy a house, then that means that you might not be able to go buy that car. Wait a minute. If your goal is to buy that house, then that means that there are some things that you see that you may not be able to do because it doesn't align with your goal. Watch this. The reason why so many of us aren't reaching financial goals, you're not experiencing financial success, is because you haven't set a financial goal that you're trying to hit. Listen, and when you have no financial goal that you're trying to hit, any and everything that you see is what you go after. Here's a question. How many of you have established financial goals that you're trying to reach? The hands, I ain't getting very many hands. Watch this. See, when you don't have a financial goal and you walk in the store and that hat on sale, where Barbara? You walk in the store and they got hats on sale, then what do? You go ahead and, oh, Lord, I just got to go ahead and get this hat because this hat is so good and they got it on sale. But the reason why you're buying that is because you don't have a goal that you're shooting for. The reason why some of us are getting into debt is because you're buying stuff. You're not focused. There's nothing that you're shooting or aiming for. Amen. If your goal, how many have a goal to be debt free? Anybody really want to be debt free? How many of you would love for your children to be able to have money set aside for them to go to college? Watch this. How many of you then have established that as your financial goal? Because see, if you haven't established it as your financial goal, the question is, have you done it yet? Chances are, if you haven't established that as your financial goal, you haven't done it and you never will do it. You know why? And the principle of insanity goes to say that it's insanity to keep wanting something different, but you keep doing the what? Same thing. Amen. So one of the first things that I want you to do is, if you haven't done it, if you're married and you're here today, you need to take some time this week and sit down with your spouse and outline, honey, what are our financial goals? Listen, and you have to set that. Is it, do we want to retire early? Do we want to buy a house? Why am I saying that? If you're married, listen, I'm telling you from experience, you need to get with your spouse because most of the time, y'all got differing ideas and opinions. And then you wondering why you never reach it is because she out there doing, she don't know what your goal is. Come on, somebody. You got a goal of retiring early, but you ain't discussed it with her. And she thinking about, my goal is to get every dress that I see, every hat that I see, every designer this, every, right? So you got to sit down. If you're married, if you're not married, young people, listen to me. If you're in college, whatever it is, what is your financial goal? Watch this, because you'll graduate college and be head over heels in debt. Watch this. And it's not so much that you have to be, it's just that you didn't have anything guiding what you were doing, right? The man started with a goal. Now, the second thing that Jesus tells us in the text that we need to do is, not only do you need to establish what your financial goal is, the second thing that you need to do is establish a plan to achieve the goal. Listen, I know this is basic. When you establish whatever you want your financial goal to be, you then have to create a plan to achieve that goal. Amen. Okay, let me say it this way. a goal without a plan is a wish. A goal without a plan is really just a dream. It's a wish. Some of us are saying, my goal is to get a house. You ever heard somebody talk about they want to get a house? I want to get a house. I want to get a house. But then when you ask them, well, what's your plan? I don't know. How many of you know that that house ain't coming? Yeah. You can pray. You can be bathing in oil. You can have the pastor laying and slaying you out in the spirit, anointing you 50 times. But if you don't have a plan to get that, it ain't coming. Listen. It's good to have a goal, but you got to listen. I'm telling you, our financial plans ain't coming to pass because there's no plan to make it happen. When you look at the text, the man had the goal of building a tower, but then notice what he did. Jesus says, what man desires to build a tower without first? You know, the first thing that he did, the Bible says, without first, he sat down. He had to sit down and make some time to sit down. And what does it say? It says he sits down and he counts the what? So in your plan, part of the process is of staying out of this is you got to sit down and count the cost. Now, I thought about this all week. What does Jesus mean when he says, when you sit down, you got to count the cost? Can I tell you at least two things that I think he's talking about? Number one is when he says count the cost, you have to count the cost that it's going to take you in order to reach your goal. So in other words, anything that you decide to do, there is a cost associated with it. It's called opportunity cost. There was a cost of you getting up to come to church today. How many know that if you want to lose weight, there's a cost? If you want to run a marathon, there's a cost. I'm running one I'm thinking about running one in April, and my wife is pushing me again to run another one of these things. I ran the first one and I told her I was done, but now she pushed me to run another one. But there's a cost to do anything. There's a cost if you want to learn how to play the keyboard, if you want to learn how to do anything, there's always a cost. Listen, and when you set your goal, you have to determine whether or not you're willing to pay the cost in order to get it. Have you ever heard somebody talk about all the stuff that they want to do, but they have no real, you know, you can tell they're not really serious about doing it because they never are willing to sacrifice to do anything. You have to count the cost. Whatever, if you want to retire early, there are some costs to retiring early. That means you may not be able to take that vacation. That means you may not be able to buy that car if that's your goal to retire early. Watch this. See, and the problem is, everybody talks about what they want to do, but ain't nobody want to pay the cost. Come on. I want to get that new house, but then that means you may not be able to wear them designer shoes, Val. Come on now. That means there's a cost that you have to pay, and if you're going to get it, then you have to be willing to pay that cost, right? But then the second thing that I think Jesus is talking about here, he says, not only do you have to count the cost, he says you have to sit down and outline all of the costs associated with achieving your goal. Watch this. So that means, catch this. Jesus says, whatever your goal is, sit down and outline all the costs that you have to pay in order to achieve it. Okay, so you know when you buy a house, there's more to buying a house than just the house payment. Listen, see, and here's the problem. See, your goal may be to buy the house, but if all you factor in is the house, it ain't gonna work, right? You know, when you buy the house, you got the house payment, but then you got property insurance, you got homeowners insurance, you got utilities, you got television, if you're going to have it. You got the telephone bill. You got maintenance on the house, internet. And it goes beyond just the house because, I mean, no, you still got to eat. You still got to buy clothes. You still got to buy a car and transportation and gas and health insurance and all these different types of things. So Jesus says, listen. When you establish whatever your goal is, watch this, There's a point, reason why I'm spending time on this. Take some time and outline all of your costs. Think of another word of your costs or expenses. What are your current bills? Sit down and outline everything where your money is going. Listen, and then Jesus says, not only do you need to outline your cost, he says that you also need to compare and add on what you have. Do you see that there? It says, they count the cost in order, y'all got the Bible in front of you, but it says something to the extent of to determine what he has to determine if he can finish it. Do you see that in the text? So in other words, you got to outline what all your expenses are, but then you got to take account of what you have. What you have, your assets, your income. What do you have coming in? And then you base your decision of what you do based off of what those parameters are. Does that make sense? Let me try to break it down this way. In other words, we would describe that today as a budget. Look at your neighbor and say a budget. Now, Jesus doesn't specifically say you need to be on a budget, but what he is describing is what we know today as a budget. What is a budget? A budget is an intentional plan of how one plans to use the resources that God has given them to achieve a common goal. Do you understand? The reason why some of us are so broke is because you don't know. You don't even know what your expenses and what your income is. Watch this. And Jesus says, based off of his expenses and off of what he had, he determined whether or not he needed to proceed with building the building. Now, the budget is exactly what Jesus is describing. Go to that next page. There's many different types of budget, but I put one on here. Number one, a budget is a one-page sheet that lists your income and your expenses. Okay, you see at the top where it has your income up there? You notice that it has two columns there? Let me just go ahead and address this. Because if you married, your money shouldn't be separated. I didn't expect to get no amens on that one. Listen, let me just get it on tape. Let me just get it on tape. See, because I know some of you have separate finances. You pay for these bills and I pay for these. Can I tell you something? Every time I've seen that, that couple has never gotten as far financially as they could have. It's always a problem. Why? Because your finances are divided and they can't work together to achieve a common goal. You only got 50% trying to do it. Listen, and can I tell you something? Every time that I've seen that, it generally don't work because you can almost always see it. There's always one in the house who's better with money than the other one. I can promise you. There's always one who's better than the other with money. And guess what generally happens? The one who's better with money is the one who's trying to save money. But the one who ain't good with money is the one who's spending every dime that they got. Watch this. And then when something... That was a little too loud, amen. I don't know. Watch it. And then what happens is, think about this. What happens is, the one who's not good with money, something breaks. But because they spend and check to check to check, they don't even think about saving. Something breaks, and then the one who has been saving got to take their money to come and bail that joker out. It doesn't work. Listen, when you got married, there is no longer his money and my money. It's our money. Right? And the plan of the enemy is, instead of you working with $50,000 or $100,000 to get you working with half of that. Versus, you know what the real problem is? Y'all jokers need to get together and cut that foolishness out. I ain't getting no amen, Sandra. Y'all need to sit down at the table and come to an agreement on what to do with the money. And the problem is, see, the division is, y'all. The issue is not the money. The issue is the two of y'all won't sit down and agree. See, in my household, I handle all the money. Every last single dime penny of it. Listen, my wife don't know. I could have an offshore account somewhere. She has no idea. You know what my wife want to know? She want to know when I need to go buy something, is there money up in there to do it? That's all I need to know. You handle all the rest of it. But when I need to go get some shoes or whatever it is, I just need to know that there's money in there. Watch this. And I'm just telling you, in our marriage, see, I think I initially approached it wrong because I came to financial meetings with what we were going to do. And then eventually, she was like, well, how she said, hang on. I work too, and I bring money in this house too. So I don't agree with where this is going here. And you know what I had to learn to do is that, see, when you married, it's not about what you want to do. It's a partnership. Yes. And if in your household you say my husband or my wife would not agree, perhaps it's the way how you coming at them in the budgeting process. Because what I found out is if you go in the right attitude, see, I had to learn I could go to my wife with a plan, but it had to be subject to change. Now, ain't no subject to approval. Now, ain't no subject to approval. But I had to learn that we had to sit down and talk about it, because there were certain things that were important to me that wasn't necessarily important to her. See, I didn't care nothing about all the hairs and all that type of stuff. Look, just paint your own nails and, you know, get one of them filers and file your own feet. I mean, why you got to do all that? You ain't got to spend no money on all that stuff. But how many know that to certain people, there's different things, right? So your budget, listen, your budget, the reason why we don't want to do this is because we need to agree. Listen, you sit down with your husband or your wife, or if you're single, list your income on a sheet. On your expenses, you need to list everything on that sheet. Every last gosh darn thing. Don't leave anything off. Everything should be budgeted. Your retirement should be budgeted. Your tithe should be budgeted. Your maintenance should be budgeted. You should have a fund for emergency funds for your car when it breaks down. It should be budgeted. Everything should be budgeted out. Listen, Jesus says to do this. Let me close with this. Let me tell you why it's so important to do this. Number one is because when you use a budget, it helps you to see what you can afford. Do you remember in the text where Jesus says he looks at what he has in order to determine if he has sufficient funds to do it or sufficient funds to build? The purpose of the budget is to help you see what you can afford. The problem is if you don't list out what your income is and what all your expenses are, you really can't determine what you can afford. If you don't know that I make $1,000, and after I pay all my bills, it's $925. You don't know what you really can afford. Watch this. And some of us, the reason why you're getting into debt is because you're buying things that really you can't afford. Watch this. Listen to me. You might can afford the payment, but you really can't afford it. What I mean by that? Because you can make the payment, but if you don't account for all the things that go along with the payment, eventually it's going to get you. And some of us are getting into debt because you've taken on too much stuff that if you would have looked at your budget, you would have saw you really can't afford that. You went and bought a car, but if you looked at that budget, you would have saw that you really can't afford that. I always ask the question when you go get that car, are you funding your retirement? Oh, Pastor, I'm young. I ain't got to worry about that. But you don't understand that that's when you fund your retirement is when you're young. So when you get to 65, the money's already there. But you spend all of your money and you get to 65 and then you want me to take care of these jokers. But you get get what I'm saying? You some things you can't afford. You may can afford the payment, but you really can't afford that. In fact, listen, Dave Ramsey, most financial advisors give you percentages for your budget to where your money should be applied. So, for example, you could Google this on anything. Most financial advisors recommend that you spend no more than 25 to 35% of your income on your house. See, all of these things have different categories. Because why? Because they know that as a part of living, eventually those things are going to come into play. Watch this. So if you're spending 40% of your income on your house pad is straight. It's nice. It's in hell. It's wherever it is. The problem is that eventually you're going to get trapped because you're spending too much of your income on one category. And what they're saying is when you spend too much in one category, there's another category that you're not funding. And when you're not funding that category and something hits, that's when all the problems start. Kurt, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I need the church to pray for me. I just need some money. I'm out of money. We ain't got no money for food this week. How much you paying for your house? $1,500? How much you make? $2,200? Your house payment too much. Boy, the amen's going down. Your budget, listen, everything should be allocated. And if you're spending too much in one category, you're not going to be able to do it. So your budget helps you understand what you can afford. Listen to me. If you are not on a budget, if you have not taken the time to outline what all your current expenses are versus what you make, I'm telling you, you're headed for a disaster. If you ain't hit it yet, you headed for it. If you are married, you should know what every expense that you have and what your income is. The second thing that a budget helps you do is it helps you determine when is the right time to buy something. Do you see in the text where Jesus is talking to the man, the issue was not that Jesus had a problem with him building the house. That wasn't the problem. The issue was he didn't have sufficient money at that time to build it. Watch this. And some of us, the reason why you keep getting into debt is because you're buying stuff. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have it. You're just buying it at the wrong time. There are some things that you may need to pay off before you go buy that. See, there's nothing wrong with the new car. But how many know that if you keep adding on more debt, and more debt, and more debt, what you should have done was pay off this. See, listen, Mike, go back to that budget thing, or whoever's back there. Here, you know one thing that I found out? See, when you look at that budget, you see where your money's going. And you begin to see, you know what? If I could just get this credit card done, that'll free up $300. Man, what could I do with an extra $300? I could use that $300, combine that with whatever else I was paying, and go ahead and pay off this car. Do you know if I paid off that car, that would free up $550? Man, what could I do with $550 plus the $300 that I had? Then I could really walk in like a baller because I am a baller because I actually got the money. And I'm not looking like I'm a baller. I actually got the money to be a baller. Y'all know the truth. Some of us are looking like ballers. And you broke. Amen's going down. You driving the Mercedes, whatever the class it was, but you can't hardly put gas in it. Amen's going down. You got on the Dooney and Gucci and Dooney and Burke and the what do you call it? Louis Vuitton and everything else. But you ain't got no money in the purse. Watch this. Your budget, listen, your budget will tell you when to buy something and when not to buy something. And some of us, you're buying stuff off of impulse. First, you don't have a financial goal, right? You haven't established what is it that I want for my family and my house. You haven't established that. And then when you establish it, you haven't created a plan of how you plan to achieve it. So anything that you see, you just buy. And sometimes if you look at the budget, it'll tell you, don't buy that right now. Wait until you pay this right here off. Let me give you one more. The third thing is that I love about a budget is it tells you where your money is going. There's one thing I found out. I'm going to close with this because I know we got to do this this thing afternoon. One thing I found out that a budget really helps me on is that for most people, you get into debt because you don't know where your money's going. See, if you don't list it out, if you don't list it out, you can't really see how much you're spending on stuff. Okay, let me give you an example. I met a man who kept telling me how broke he was, right? That he just never had enough money, and he was upset because he wanted to tithe, but he couldn't tithe. He was like, man, I just can't tithe, Pastor, because, you know, I just got all this stuff going on. I was like, oh, okay, so what's going on? I mean, this person was well into six figures, so I'm like, man, how can you be broke? Do you know when we sat down, this joker spent in the prior year, when we looked at some credit card statement, over $30,000 on eating out. Wait a minute now. You say, oh, that's crazy. That's amazing. Listen, if you don't have a system to track what it is that you're doing, you have no idea how much you're eating out. Listen, he had spent, it was like almost $19,000 or $20,000 on entertainment and vacations. Oh, listen, you don't see, here's the thing, you ain't thinking about it, but that first cruise, then you took the kids on the weekend to that one, and then y'all went and did this, and then you and the husband got away for that weekend, and then you did this. Before you know it, you have no idea how much money you spent. Oh, well, we do like to go to the opera, and we do like to go to concerts. Oh, yeah, I didn't really think about that, but all that adds up. Watch this. And when there is no financial goal and there is no financial plan, your money just flies away. And I'm sitting there talking to him, and he's like, Pastor, I really wish that I could tithe. I really wish that I can do this. And the problem was not so much that he couldn't tithe. It was that all his money was going to foolishness that was preventing him from living the type of life that he really wanted to live. Watch this. And if you're struggling financially, listen, I can promise you this. Let me say that. I know I got to. Let me promise you this. If you are not on a budget, okay, that you look at every month, that you're tracking your stuff, I don't care how much money you make, I can promise you there is money that you have that's not being used properly. Listen to what I'm saying. You may be okay financially. You may be able to pay your bills, but I promise you, you got money flying out someplace. Right. If you know, have you ever heard the thing? What is it? Inspect what you expect. I promise you, if you're not watching where your money is going, you are spending more. Some of you are in here spending more on hats and shoes. And nails. Come on now. Y'all don't look at me crazy. I mean, do you know how much you spend in a month on your hair? Boy, I'm glad some of the men are looking at me because the ladies will not look me in my eye, Tony. Do you know how much you're spending on your hair? Listen, the natural ones are saying, I don't spend much at all on my hair. The natural ones. But listen, let me close. You gotta figure out where your money is coming from. It's a principle called stewardship, which we're going to talk about later. But see, we're all responsible for the things that God gives to us. And the problem is, listen, it's not so much that you need more money. The issue is you're not being responsible with the money that God has already given to you. And if you're not responsible with the little things that God gives to you, don't expect him to give you a whole lot of money. Amen. So you need to get on a budget. Look at your neighbor and say, get on a budget. Get on a budget. Listen. Here's your activity for this week. Listen, along with reading your Bible and praying and all that other type of stuff that's elementary to me that you should be doing if you're a Christian. Listen, if you're married, sit down with your spouse. Figure out what are your finances. Have you ever talked about that? Sit down and figure out what are our financial goals. For our house, what are we trying to do? If you're single, in particular if you're in college, listen to me, you don't have to be broke. And you don't have to graduate college with mounds and mounds and mounds of college debt. Not if you set a goal that says, when I graduate, I don't want to have all that debt.
Because you know what that means? If that's your goal, then that means you may not be able to go to every party, buy everything if you want to be out of debt when you get out of school. It's very simple. Amen. Don't make it complex. Amen. Amen. All right, let's close our heads and bow our heads. I know we got to go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my best, Lord God. And I pray that something says is going to bless somebody. Help us, Lord God, as we leave here and as we come into 2020, not to keep doing the same things that we've always done. Some of us have different challenges in here. Some of us have divided finances. That's a challenge for us. I would encourage you, I don't care how long you've been doing it, you can always change. I can tell you that $100,000 goes a lot further than $50,000. $50,000 goes a lot further than $25,000. If you combine what you have, all you got to do is list all the bills out, list what your income is, come up with a plan to fix it. Stop doing things separately and come together so God can bless your household. Humble your pride and let the person who best handles money go on up in there and handle the money. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. I challenge every one of you. I challenge you. If you're not doing this, go home today. Find every bill that you have, your cable bill, your telephone bill, your cell phone bill, every bill, you write that sucker down. And then you go get your net pay from your check. Don't go off of what you make. You get your net and you walk down. First of all, if you haven't done that before, that's going to be an eye-opening experience right there. When you see that, man, after I pay all my bills, all I got left is this or whatever. You may not think you have as much as you think you do. Listen, and then after you do that and you see all of your expenses and your income, start paying attention to those things that you aren't funding. If you don't have an emergency fund, if you aren't saving for maintenance, if you aren't saving for retirement, if you're not tithe, those are things that you need to start allocating towards because it's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to be willing to pay the cost. I believe you want to bless us. I believe you have great things in store for us. But help us to manage the things that you have given us well. In the name of Jesus.